to talk about the Threepenny Opera, which is being staged at Stage Left Theater. It opens this Friday, runs for 3 weekends, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. Troy Nickerson, we've had this conversation before, but it seems like when a really interesting, good, or provocative play comes along, who's going to show up and say, me, it's okay, I'll make time and direct it. Is that the Troy Nickerson we know?
Well, I hope so. I definitely do like to challenge myself and go for more interesting material. This one has definitely been that.
Yeah, well, Threepenny Opera, and probably the interesting just goes on because you probably have a million ghosts looking over your shoulder of 80 years of legacy, nearly 100 years of legacy, of this show, and what to do with it, what to say with it now. It's probably overwhelming almost.
It was a little overwhelming at first, for sure. And finally, I just kind of had to give that up and just break it down into little moments and just start telling our story the way we wanted to tell it. Looking through it and when I started to really go through other versions and stuff, I don't know that I've ever seen a show that has been represented or done so many different ways and had so many interpretations of it done out there. It's pretty amazing.
And so, therefore, what did you do? Just start with the text and try to figure out what Weill and Brecht were doing?
Right. I mean, at first, you know, I had a read-through on my deck with just some friends, and even after that read-through, I was still kind of like, okay, I'm not quite sure what's happening here. So then it was cast, and like I said, so then as we just broke it down into little moments and started staging little moments, it started to make sense to me, and it started to make sense to me through my cast. Because of you know how clear they were and what they were doing, and so I think at that point we just decided that we needed to take, or I decided that as a group that we need to take our interpretation and go from there and find out what it means to us, and with you know what's written and just do our version of what this play means to us.
Okay, and we have a couple of songs. We have Robert Tambari, who plays McHeath, and so shall we just dispense with one of the songs that starts getting us into the real mood of the Threepenny Opera, the Ballad of the Easy Life. We'll hear it, and then we can talk about it. So giving me just a moment to make sure that we're doing the right things here. Let's give this a try.
They tell you that the best in life is mental. Just starve yourself and do a lot of reading. Up in some garret where the rats are breeding. Should you survive, it's purely accidental. If that's your pleasure, go on, live that way. But since I've had it up to here, I'm through. There's not a dog from here to Timbuktu would care to live that life a single day. So listen closely to Mac the Knife. The bulging pocket makes the easy life. Now once I used to think it might be worthy to be a brave and sacrificing person. I soon found out it wasn't reimbursing. Decided to continue being earthy. The noble poor are nobly underfed. And being brave will bring an empty fame. You're all alone with no one else to blame. You're mingling with the great, but you are dead. Where's the percentage? Ask Mac the Knife. The bulging pocket makes the easy life.
There we go. From Threepenny Opera, the Ballad of the Easy Life. As McHeath is Robert Tambari. And so I guess, Robert, you have your chance to defend yourself, and we have our chance to try to take you out. Are you totally bad?
I don't know if I'm totally bad, but he's not totally great either. I think he's the gray area in the play. He's both good and bad. Yeah. It's for the audience to decide.
Oh, well, okay. And what about the other two people? Well, first let me say that Abby Crawford, who plays Jenny, is in the room. Hello, Abby.
Hi, Vern.
Because I know at some point you're not going to be able to resist commenting on these things.
You know me so well.
So between the director, Troy, and Abby, let's talk a little bit about McHeath.
I think, from Jenny's point of view, I think she loves the man, and I think she hates the man. As with most humans, there's always people like that in your life. Sometimes they end up being exes. Sometimes they end up being in your life for the rest of your entirety. But the way that they keep circling each other in the show, and the way that he has that kind of relationship with everybody. My particular relationship with him, I think, is a little more, like, it could be deadly. It definitely could be deadly, but she's just, I don't know, she can't make up her mind about him. And I think that when the audience sees him, they're going to feel the very same way. You kind of cheer for him sometimes, and then other times you're like, why am I cheering for him? I don't get it. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's an interesting
he's
character.
He's a bit of a puppet master, I think, in some ways. I think he kind of controls people very well, you know, like his gangs and everything. He doesn't really have to get his hands dirty. He has, as we were actually talking on the way over here, that he has people that do that for him. Mm. And I think there probably is a side of him that has some care to it, but it's a very manipulative and so I feel like he's a real puppet master in this show.
He's got massive charisma. Mm. Massive.
Right. We've seen that before.
Yeah. And so now that we've taken out McHeath, let's describe about Jenny. Are you gullible? Are you needy? Are you what set of neuroses? Because everybody's neurotic in this play, aren't they?
I think yes, absolutely. Absolutely. When you get to the end of the show, that's probably one of the things you'll think. I think Jenny she's very self-sufficient, but as most humans, they need that interaction, somebody to adore them, somebody to love them, somebody to cater to them. And at one point in her life, Mac did that, and she did that for him, but she still was the one taking care of everything because he didn't want to do the work. And there's a moment in the show where you find out about their history, and even though he says he loves her, I think it's kind of clear that he was using her more so, but she was okay with it. And I think she kind of gets her revenge, and then she feels bad about it, and then she wants to get revenge, and then she feels bad about it. So I'm not sure she's real settled, actually. Mm. When I have the songs that she sings, actually her third one, which is my favorite, it's the Solomon song. Mm. You can actually see her thinking through everything, like, well, I guess maybe I'll do this, but no, I don't think I will. Mm. So she's not as crazy as Mac, I don't think, and she doesn't rule the roost as much as Mac, but I think she has her own sufficiency within the show itself. So
we're talking about Three Penny Opera, which opens this Friday at Stage Left. And Troy, because we have Jenny and Mac the Knife, as it were, McHeath here, that's what we're talking about. What percentage of the essence of this show is this conflict versus the other issues going on through the show?
You know, I mean, I think this is just one of the pieces of the puzzle, you know, their story. There's so many stories with McHeath and, you know, his wives and then Jenny. But I think the overall themes, the political themes and the story of the have and the have nots, you know, that's the reason this show, unfortunately, still needs to be told and has been told for as long as it has, mm-hmm. is because it resonates, you know, with how we treat people that we deem lower than us. It's about human kindness. It's about, you know, us as a group of humans, how we deal and treat other people. So it's a small piece of that puzzle. The relationships, I think, are just in general for the show, and the themes in the show are really about much more about the whole of the show, not each individual relationship.
Sure. And about as to the haves and have nots, have you considered sending tickets to all the current political candidates for Spokane?
You know, we're kind of doing our nods in the show every now and then. When we get a chance, we're giving a few little personal opinions about things when we when I can, or when we as a cast can, I think.
In the greatest stage left tradition.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, by the way, I was going to remind you, we run Thursday through Saturdays,
Saturdays. That's why I kept looking at you.
Yeah,
when
yeah, Thursday.
I said it, you were supposed to correct me.
Yeah, yeah, Thursday through Saturday. Thank you.
And so, but the opening is Friday.
Yes, the opening
so
is Friday.
It's a three-day first week, and then it's 4-day week.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thursday through Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday. I'm sorry. Thursday through Sunday. We're all very confused. Yeah. So Thursday through Sunday.
For a lot of reasons, it's such a relevant play. It's so well known that you assume that there will be an audience for the Three Penny Opera.
I hope so.
And how about the other casting? Well, how about the casting in general, this process, because that's so integral and important in a production like this?
You know, we have a really wonderful, strong cast. And again, it's really wonderful to have some real strong veteran actors, and then we have two or three people that it's their first show. So it's kind of that nice, diverse combination of people. We have about 15 people on the show, something like that. Yeah. So it's a small, kind of pared down version. I mean, obviously,
well, that's what
the size of the stage at stage left. But it's a powerful group of people, and compassionate and hardworking.
And then always with something that was created in Weimar, Germany, is the set evocative of that, or is the set just kind of representative of any time?
Representative of any time, and same with the costumes. Some of the costumes are actually current. Set them as kind of now. It can be really kind of any time. The way the set itself and the feel of it is a little more black box, and the costumes range from insanely crazy to almost a bit traditional. So it's just kind of a mixed bag.
And how about kind of the interface between the dialogue and the songs? Are you able to make that? Is it inherently natural? Does it just kind of inherently work?
It didn't seem that way to me at first. You know, sometimes it feels like the songs come out of nowhere, or that the songs don't even necessarily have to deal with the dialogue before they're done. But now that I'm seeing run-throughs and it's being put together, it seems a lot more natural to me, and it seems to flow, and it seems like it has a place, and that it was very purposeful.
Yeah, Abby, have you done Three Penny Opera before?
I haven't. The first time I saw it was well over 20 years ago when Civic did it, and I sort of fell in love with it there.
That famous one with the Earl, with Bill Earl or whoever. Well, it doesn't matter.
But it was the first time I heard Pirate Jenny and Solomon's Song, and I love those. So I've kind of had a bit of a love affair with the music since then, and had to do it because it was on my bucket list.
You've probably done them in your cabaret, some of these songs in your cabaret.
Actually, Pirate Jenny is in one of my cabarets, and I haven't had a chance to do it. So this is the first time I've been able to. I'm not going to ruin it. Vern, I'm not going to ruin the surprise. Gosh.
Okay, there we go.
It's not in my cabaret yet.
Okay, there we go. And Robert, what about your involvement? Did you audition for this, or did they come find you to be McKeith?
I did audition for it. Yeah, it was fun too.
And was that did you already have a sense of wanting to be McKeith and wanting to do this show?
When I found out they were doing it, it was fun, and I was like, yeah, I should probably go out for it. I did want to be McKeith. Yes, I've seen it a few times. I love the play and all the music in it. And so I was like, oh, I get the chance to do this? Yes, I should really go out and do this.
Yeah. And what do you do? You're new to me, maybe to some of the audiences. What do you do when you're not being on the stage on this show?
Nothing really theater related that much. My degree's in it.
I say, tell them where you graduated
from. I graduated from the Royal Birmingham Conservatoire with my MFA in the UK.
With your MFA in
acting.
What? In acting. Oh, okay. And do you live in Spokane?
I do, yep. Born and raised here in Spokane.
And so you're back here, and then...
Back here after, I guess I moved back last year, after I graduated.
Okay, and finally being in a play.
Yeah. It's been almost 16 months since I've been on stage.
Well, we could say it's about time for that, to have you back. And so that's Three Penny Opera, which opens Friday, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, then Thursday through Sunday, the following 2 weeks. You have another song for us.
Yes.
And what's this song, and how does it fit into the play?
This song is called Call from the Grave, and this is the first time that he is pleading with the audience when he is in jail.
Okay, we go back to our system here and hear this song sung by Robert Tambari.
Oh, hear me calling to you, come and save MacHeath that's fallen here, but not on grass. MacHeath that's ballin' to you from the grave, and begging don't you let it come to pass. I hope to God you hear his dying call above the wall of earth that hems him in. Oh, listen, friends, do you not care at all if he's already dead or how he's been? But if he lives, the die is not yet cast. Don't let his suffering forever last.
Short but sweet, the first of the Call of the Grave songs from Threepenny the Opera. Final words about this production?
I'm just very excited to see the responses and to get the cast going. They're ready for an audience. Tonight we'll have a few people there. It'll be the first time they've had anybody in the house. So please get your tickets. It will definitely be an experience, I think.
Threepenny Opera opening Friday at Stage Left Theater. And with that, let's hear the little bit of instrumental music from there. This is the overture.